we had food on our table, roof above our head, clothes, too many clothes on our backs. We ate too much. Okay. God was good. God was good. Yes, He was good. He's always good. So this morning, before we look to the Lord's word, let's look to the Lord. Faithful, awesome, awesome God. Father, this morning, once again, we come to you, Lord. 52 weeks. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. You were there every time we gathered in your name. Every place. It didn't matter where we gathered, which hall, which city, which country. It didn't matter. You were there. We just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. Once more, we surrender ourselves, Lord, into thy hands. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Speak to us. For you have the words of life. Speak to us. Let every ear be open. Unblock clogged ears. Let every heart be open to receive life, your life, the overcoming Zoe life. Nothing can stand before that life. That life is victory. That life is triumph. That life is the life of God Himself. Teach us a little more about you. For this is eternal life, that we know you. That's what we come here for. For eternal life. For you said the lips of a priest, from the lips of the priest you shall know the knowledge of God. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Almost little less than 14 hours left. Right? And 2023 will be over. Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Look back. Reflect, look forward, believe. See that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So there, if you look at it, the foolish are those who do not understand the will of God. The wise are the ones who understand the will of God. Right? Redeem the time. That's why today, it's over. 2023 is over. Just 14 hours, if you were to go by. Yeah, 14 hours and 5 minutes left for us on this side of the globe. What does it mean? It means it's gone. You will never get 2023 back again. It's gone. It's past. It's over. That's what we call past. Because life is measured in this body on earth. Life is measured in time. The evening and the morning was the first day. That's how it is recorded. Time. And what you and I do will be measured in time. And in time, what you and I do is called life. So the Bible says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Not only is time passing away, word says, also the days in which we are living, the times in which we are living, is evil. Much more evil than the days. Paul wrote about. The question is, how do I redeem time? And the answer is there. The only way we can actually redeem the time is by knowing the will of God. Okay? Knowing the will of God. If you know the will of God, you redeem time. Okay? Like we said, like the great man said, two most important days are the day you were born and the day you discover why. But for us, the most important day is not the day that we were born, because everybody was born, but the day we were born again. And then, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, please remember, if you look around the world, you will see you can be very busy and yet be ineffective. And some of you may look back at 2023 and said, I was so busy. I had no time. Yet you look back, it's ineffective. You could be an incredible success in this world and yet be a failure in eternity. Remember the fool who was rich? You cannot be rich unless you were successful. Rich and a fool. You could have made money, riches, more than any man. Had wisdom, acquired knowledge than any man. There's a record in the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 and 30. God gave Solomon wisdom, an exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of East and all the wisdom of Egypt. Wealth too. He probably was the richest king in human history. Because it talks about the tribute that came in every year was in tons of gold. Yet at the end of Solomon's life, his entire life is summed up in one word, empty. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Empty, empty, empty. What a waste of all that God gave him. What a waste. Because somewhere along the way he lost his way. And I hope somewhere along this year, if you lost your way, you will find it back today. Because life is measured in time. And you redeem time by knowing his will. That's why Pastor Vijay and we both came from the secular world, you know, professional secular world. And we look back and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If God hadn't intervened and shown us what he wanted us to do, we would have gone that way. We would have gone that way. Okay, all my colleagues, every one of my colleagues are profs in universities, central universities, India, abroad, all like his, all of them. We all started at the same time. Okay, I cleared my neat net before them. But at that crucial moment, God turned me. He shut doors and turned around and then we look back, oh Lord, would you ever go back there? No. Ever go back? No. Because one of the best things about, if you want to call this as a profession, this profession, you never retire. When you retire is the day you die. Because I see my group, people are retiring and they don't know what to do. We thank God we were not put on the shelf. Okay. So, it's important. And anybody, all of you sitting here, any one of you, if you find God's will in your life, you never retire. There's no retirement for you. That's why it's important. So one day Jesus ascended up a small hill, called some mountain, but a small hill, sat down. And his disciples came to him. And the greatest words ever spoken by man were spoken that day by the Son of Man. And in that sermon he says, you know, he uses Solomon. And he will say, actually, one wiser than Solomon is here. So we heard about Solomon's wisdom. But one wiser than Solomon. And he addresses issues that we all face. And this is how he addressed in 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, is not life? So the author of life, when the author of life speaks about life, listen. If you can, like a dog, move your ears, move it towards me. Have you noticed? No, dogs, they can move their ears when they want to listen. Okay? So I think Solomon was looking at a dog and says, incline your ear. My son, incline your ear. Okay? So when the author of life is speaking about life, pay attention. Okay? But this is what life is for most people. Most people. That's what motivates them. We call them primary needs. In verse 31 and 32, he puts it across even more. Therefore, do not worry, say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. So God, Jesus, is speaking to his disciples, not to the crowd. The crowds are waiting for another lunch break. Because they follow him wherever there is free food, they follow him. That's why Christmas Day it's full, Sunday morning it's half empty. Because Christmas there was lunch, and Sunday morning there is not lunch. Okay. You know, it was full, packed. Okay. So Jesus is differentiating between life's needs. He says, I know what you need. He says, I created you. I know what you need. Okay. So here he is saying, don't let these things define your life. What to eat, what to drink, what to wear. No, this what. No, like I said, everybody, poor or rich, no, either what all to eat. Poor will worry what to eat. Rich will what all to eat, what all to drink, what all to wear. Okay? Okay? The poor tries to cover their nakedness. The rich will open and says, I have nothing to wear today. No, but it's primarily the same. Primarily, it's a need-based life. Need-based life. And generally speaking, okay, that's how most of humanity. So God is telling his children, you don't live like that. Your life will be wasted. It's a waste. That's how Solomon ended. With all his wisdom, every morning he woke up and said, what all shall I eat today? And the Bible, you should read the table that was on. I mean, how can a man eat so much? Who all should I marry? I used to say in my messages, 300 wives and 600 concubines, till somebody corrected me and said, Pastor, no, it was 700 concubines. I said, okay, I missed 100. So you see, this is what I call Solomon the Lord of the Flings. 1,000. Okay. Look at this man. Need based, pleasure based, desire based lives people lead. Okay? Lead. Okay? And if you listen to people in the US, so young people, abroad here also, you listen to them, you ask them, what is your plan? He says, this is my plan. By 40, I want to retire. At 40, I want to retire. And then I'm going to live a life of ease. I have already planned out my life. I'm going to work like a dog till 40, amass my fortune, and 50 onwards, life is a vacation. Okay, so Jesus is speaking to all people in all generation. But if you study even in the world, like I said last week, successful people, the reason they are successful, because success doesn't just come like, you know, for success, there are laws established. And if you study successful people, is that you will see is first they establish priorities. This is what I want. This is what I want. Okay. Then they organize their life, which is time, around it. Because you only have 24 hours. 24 hours. Okay. So you have to organize your life, which is equal to time, around it. And then you discipline yourself over a time to stick to your organization or your organizing schedule. Like people who want to crack NEET. Or IIT, JE, whatever. No, they have shit, they have their timetable set. First, when they start the timetable, it is difficult. 4 in the morning. And they divide their subjects like that. That's how we all used to do in school time. You know, we divide, okay, most difficult. That we will give more time. The easiest, we give little time. We organized ourselves. Organized ourselves. And then work into disciplining ourselves that organization becomes part of you. That's how people become successful. But that's a temporal success. Eternity, it may count to nothing. You may not even make it into heaven if you are not saved. And most successful people in the world will not be there in heaven. Please understand that. Because Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. Okay. Because the more successful you become because of all these things, the more you start trusting yourself. And then it is very difficult to come to the cross, because when you come to the cross, it's the end of self. Okay. So you remember, success comes with a very high price tag. Very high price tag. So if you are successful, let it be God's way. So in Hebrews 12:2, we look to, in God's sight, the man who was hanging 2,000 years ago on a cross. Hanging there, broken, bleeding, on a Roman cross. Naked, hanging over there. But in eternity, we will realize the most successful man ever. So let's look unto him. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Always remember, though we study from Adam onwards to the last one in the Bible, our role model is always Jesus. You learn from him. And if you look into what he says, he actually made life very easy for us. Very, very easy. How to live a successful life now and forevermore. Okay? What did he do was in Matthew 6, the same chapter, verse 33, he reduced life to 2 priorities. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. 2 priorities, like 2 sides of a coin. It's 1 coin, but 2 sides. He says, seek first. Now, when we say seek first, it means more than first. It means exclusively. Him alone you shall serve. That's what it means. Exclusively. His kingdom and his righteousness. 2 things. Don't seek your own righteousness. His righteousness. He says, if you do that, he says, I take personal responsibility to take care of all your needs, all the days of your life. He says, I take personal responsibility. And you look back, I don't know about you, but when I look back, it was true in 2023. He took care. He took care. He says, I take personal responsibility for meeting all our needs. And his own life was a testament to this. His own life. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ. His own life was a proof, testament to this. So he says, first and foremost, seek the kingdom of God. Okay? Kingdom. Dumb means dominate. It's a place a king dominates. Dominion. D. dominates. Seek first the kingdom of God, where he is sovereign. Sovereign. Pure gold is called sovereign. His will, his purpose, his intent. Seek that. That's what happens in a kingdom. And connected to this is his righteousness. Because that's the only thing that can give us a right standing or a right relationship with him. So we saw on Christmas Day. Did you forget Christmas Day? The day you ate Halim. Do you remember? Jesus' encounter with Pilate, Caesar's representative of the Roman Empire. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But for now, my kingdom is not from here." See, that is our struggle. Our struggle is because his kingdom is not of this world. If his kingdom was of this world, it becomes very easy. But for our problem is his kingdom is not of this world. And for now, his kingdom is not from here. One day, very soon, the Bible writes in Revelation 13 and verse 15, if I'm right, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But for now, it is not from here. So all our struggles, all of us who are sitting here, our struggles is basically, believers, is we are caught between two worlds. See, the one who is outside doesn't face so much struggle. Because he's only caught in this world. But we are caught in two worlds. And about the world which Jesus is talking about, which we cannot see, this is what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Can I have it on the screen, or the screen won't work? Yeah, it's okay, don't worry about it. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It's telling us that the unseen is what is real. The unseen is more powerful. The unseen is what controls. We are in the seen, but we are talking about a kingdom that is not seen. You see, angels and demons do not have this struggle. They do not have this struggle at all. They don't struggle like us. They are in the unseen, but they can see the seen. We are in the seen, but we are told to live by the unseen. In Mark chapter 1, 23 to 25, when Jesus began his ministry, this is what is written. There was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. He cried out saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" Did you? Okay, that was not the tone. Okay, my tone was wrong. They would have probably trembled. Okay. "Jesus of Nazareth, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." You see, they knew who Jesus was, but the people did not know. Did you see that? Now they are speaking through a man, but they are in another realm, and they knew who Jesus was. They knew who he was in the other realm and in this realm, but the people did not know. So there was no confusion. So demons are not confused. Angels are not confused because they live in an unseen world, but they understand the seen world very well. We live in a material world, yet we do not realize so many things that influences us and the entire world events. And 2024 will be even more influenced, because as the day gets closer and closer and closer, the influence of these two kingdoms will get stronger. Interestingly, people who belong to pagan religions, they're very aware of spirits and demons. So to appease or to protect, they are given different things which they tie all around themselves, in their house, on their bike, on their car. You will see a lot of things tied. It has got to do with not this realm. It has got to do with the other realm. So religions understand the other realm, but they don't really understand. So it is always appeasement. Every religion. You cannot survive unless you bring the unseen realm over here. Buddha, who was kind of silent about God, did not explain about God. He was silent. He just brought a religion which is man-based. Do this, and left it that. After he died, the unseen came in. Now you go to Buddhist countries, you will see it is not Buddha. There are multitude of other gods and statues and images they worship, because you cannot survive. No religion will survive. It cannot survive. Okay, so the other realm is there. But what about the kingdom of God? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's our problem. Christians know very little about it. Or actually are bothered very little about it. So when the king came as a man, as a baby born in a manger, okay, and he gives us the gospel, he dies, he rises, he goes, and the gospel goes. Acts chapter 2 verse 18, he puts it across in terms of two kingdoms. What does the gospel do? When you believe, what happens? To open our eyes in order to turn me from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God, that I may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Him. Something happens over there. Okay? Our eyes have to be opened that we move from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. We receive the forgiveness of our sins. And then after that, as we continue that road, we are sanctified by faith in Christ. Set apart more and more and more and more. Set apart unto God. That's what you need to look at 2023, December 31st, at the end of the year. Am I set apart unto God and for Him more than how I began this year? Set apart. By faith. If so, we can believe and hope for an inheritance in eternity. So God uses images over there, light and darkness. Understand in Hebrew and Greek, for that word darkness also means ignorance. Okay, that's why ignorance destroys you, because it's darkness. So light and darkness, kingdom of God and kingdom of Satan, knowledge versus ignorance. This is the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of the world. Okay? So Jesus is introducing something which we believers, I too as a Christian for years after being saved, missed out. Okay? If you turn to the gospel according to Mark, the first and the shortest concise gospel, this is how it begins. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So this is the good news of Jesus Christ, the person, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I sent my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now if you go its parallel account in Matthew chapter 3, like Mark straight away begins with John, okay? Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. In those days, who is this? The voice in the wilderness. John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Why? For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. So John's there straddles literally between two covenants. The last of the old covenant prophets, the one who will introduce Jesus to us. He also is the one who announces the kingdom. Okay? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. If you go with parallel in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, this is what the Bible says. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So if you look at Matthew and if you look at Mark, you see, you will feel, hey, there are two different usages. In Matthew, it says kingdom of heaven. In Mark, he's saying kingdom of God. Okay. What is the difference? Kingdom of heaven is a place. Okay. Kingdom of God is more the manifestation of the power of that place. Power of that place. Let me try to explain to you in modern terms, which those who once in a while by mistake read a newspaper will understand. These are all puns indented, okay. That's why we stopped the newspaper at GSS, because I found every week it was rolled the way the newspaper man left it. Okay. And I think our young, beautiful, charming girls were using it to line their cupboards without understanding the news. Okay. There's a war going on in the Middle East, Israel and the Palestinians, Hamas. And on the one side, the Houthi militants in Yemen have been shooting drones and missiles, blocking all traffic that goes through Red Sea. And they're kind of successful because traffic has come down. It affects all of us. Because if the ships don't come through Red Sea, they have to go through all the way around Africa. That means the price of commodities will start slowly going up because overhead costs go up. So nothing happens which will not touch every one of us. Okay? So what happens? America's fifth fleet, most of the ships have moved into over there to protect the shipping. Now where is America? US, it's far away. What is happening over there? The place is far away. The manifestation of power is happening somewhere else. Did you get it? Got it? Is America near the Red Sea? No. America is far away. But what you see is a manifestation of their power. One of the ships that was near India also got hit, and three of the Indian frigates and destroyers have moved towards that to protect our shipping. Okay, so it's a manifestation of power. So the kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. It's a manifestation of the power of that kingdom. Get this very, very clearly. Okay, very, very clearly. So, when God is asking us, seek ye first the kingdom. It's a place. And there is power connected with that. Our issue is this. Jesus did not bring any religion. He never brought any religion. He brought us a way by which we could be related to God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and enter into the kingdom. But if you're stuck, like I was for years, in the religion called Christianity, what will happen is no change will occur. No change will occur. That's why Jesus said, seek the kingdom. I've used this example before, but let me give you the example. Next month, I will be there. Okay, if you go down West Bengal and go to Siliguri, and 4 hours from Siliguri, you will reach the border of the only monarchy around this place, small country called Bhutan. Okay, on that side is a beautiful little country, it's called the last Shangharila, paradise on earth, the only nation which does not measure its index by economy, the only nation that grows national happiness. That's how the king said you should measure the happiness of my people, not economic prosperity. It's a beautiful place, peaceful place. Okay, they have all their vices and all that, but compared to the rest of the world, it's one of the most peaceful places on planet earth. So on this side is India. Finally, you come to the border, a place called Jaigaon. That side is the Bhutanese border town called Phuntsholing. On this side, it is mayhem because it's a democracy. Will of man. Mayhem. Absolute mayhem. Traffic, no order, buffaloes, rickshaws, everything. Policeman is blowing the whistle. Nobody cares. Okay. And then you come to this gate. And you cannot walk on the road. If you want to enter, you have to walk through that smaller gate. And once you enter, it's completely different. The same lawless fellow here is walking on the pavement very carefully. He was lawless here. Absolutely lawless here. On that side, he's very law-abiding. Okay. Nobody crosses the roads. Okay, that's the only country where there are no traffic lights. Okay. Okay. And there are zebra crossings. I mean, we know where these things happen, but we're talking about around our own area where the zebra crossing is. All I have to do is step down, all the traffic will stop for me to cross. You know why? What happened? You moved into a kingdom. Kingdom. Moved into a kingdom. Where the authority and the power of the government is very visible. Very visible. Okay. So we need to get, when we got saved, a lot of our struggles are people are sitting there, bindas, is because you thought you were saved, but you did not know when you saved, you entered into a kingdom. You're no longer in a democracy. You entered into a kingdom. And God's power is available to transform us. That's what the Bible says, as many as who received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God, the children of the king. Give the power to become the children of king. So if you look at Mark chapter 1, you see it's a very concise picture of the ministry of Jesus capsuled in one day when he preaches. The verse 22 will say, 122 will say, wow. With what? Authority. Authority is a word associated with kingdom. What authority? Not like the scribes. He's not speaking like the scribes. What authority? He casts out demons. In verse 27, you will see casting out demons. And this is, what kind of doctrine it is? What kind of authority? Okay. He heals the sick, for with authority he commands. Okay. He heals the sick. Okay. That's a day capture. Morning till evening. The kingdom is being manifested. Even when he preaches, he speaks with authority. When he commands demons, he speaks with authority. When he heals the sick, he speaks with authority. Okay. There is something being manifested over there. And then we remember the incident in Mark chapter 1, verse 37. Remember, early in the morning he arose, he went to a deserted place, and he was praying. Peter woke up late. He came, looked and said, Lord, everybody is waiting for you. This is his response. When they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. So we see another purpose of Jesus. Because we need to understand purpose. Okay. Imagine I did not hear or obey God and I ended up teaching in a university, ultimately college, university, wherever. And I finally at 60, 62, I retired and I'm happily sitting and then saved, happy. And then I get I die or he comes and I realize I never called you to teach. That was not my will for you. And I realize, oh my gosh, my entire life was a waste. For this purpose. For purpose. I came. So he's defining his purpose. A purpose I have come forth. Okay? But I could say, but I am teaching anyway in a college. Okay. Teaching in a college. So there are a lot of teachers in the world. So we'll define it even further. If you come to the parallel passage in Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 43. Now in it was day, he departed, went to a deserted place. A crowd sought him, came to him, tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach. So he was not just preaching. He was not preaching. You go through the entire Gospels. He only preaches the kingdom of God. You're not preaching religion. Religion is easy. You can put it away. You are in control. But if you listen to the kingdom is in control. That's what I gave you the illustration. The difference is here you're walking as you want. As soon as he entered over the kingdom took over. Be careful. This is not how you walk here. It's not how you walk here. Now, Indian vehicles can get permission and drive through the country wherever you have permit. But if you are in Thimphu, one of those capitals, and blow your horn, the cop will stop you. It's a, you cannot blow your horns here. Just wait for the traffic to move. We don't blow. No noise pollution here. We don't allow it. So what happened is the kingdom took over. Kingdom took over. This is what Jesus is talking about. When he sent the 12 disciples out in Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority over all the demons. Why? Because that is the kingdom of darkness opposing the kingdom of light. So he gave them power over them. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He says, when you are preaching, he says, when you are declaring the kingdom of God, there will be manifestations in the crowd who will oppose it. Deal with them immediately. That's the kingdom of darkness. Deal with them. Deal with them. And if there are sick, heal them. So there was a kingdom stuff that was happening over there. And you go through, Jesus never wavered from that message. We all entered into this world by virtue of birth. Entered into this world. We are conceived in our mother's womb and we entered into this world and we have no recollection of that. Even Gianna, though she had a terrible entry into the world, will have no recollection other than what her parents say to her as she grows up. But if we could remember, which we cannot, our entry into the world was catastrophic. From that cocoon inside. 9 months, happy, you know, no. Bindas life was really there, 9 months, bindas. Didn't have to go study, no homework, no waking up in the morning, sleep when you want, sleep as long as you want, wake up when you want, kick your mother from inside if you feel like it. It was bindas life. And then you came out. Okay, came out. And it was like, literally, if the parents are in there, the child will die. Child will die, literally. That's why you need parents. Okay? Because, so we entered into the world by virtue of birth. We entered into the kingdom of God by virtue of being born again. There's no other way. Religion cannot take you in. It's only one way you can enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus told one of the most prominent religious figures of his time, of the Jewish hierarchy, Nicodemus, assuredly, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And verse 3 will say, unless you are born of the 8. Verse 8 will say, So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be born again. Okay. What happens is, that's the only way you can enter into the kingdom. Now, all of us sitting here, we had no choice about our first birth. No choice. We didn't choose. We had no choice. But we have to choose to be born again. There, that choice is left to us. We can hear the message, reject the message. And lots of people reject the message. And it will be the most important choice we will ever make. Okay. God won't make the choice for us. You and me. He knows all who will make the choice, but he didn't make the choice. We made it. He will set before us all the pros and the cons. He will tell about what eternity is like, what heaven is like, and your father and your father's house. All the things he will say. And he will also talk about the cons if you reject. What is eternity like? The eternal consequences of rejecting the king and the kingdom. But I have to choose. That's what the word repent means. It's an entirely different way of thinking. And I don't know about you, I know roughly the week, not the day. I know it was the fourth week of October 1983. I chose, okay? And the outward to the public, the evidence or the proof of your choice is your baptism. Baptism is like what we say in US, it's more like a naturalization ceremony. You've been in US for a long time, you got your citizenship. On that day, there is a ceremony that will take place where they will make you take the vow. Okay? And you are now showing your allegiance, repeating your allegiance to the United States, the Constitution, the country, to the flag. And then they will take your passport and throw it away. You are no longer a citizen of India now. If you are from India, you are a citizen of USA. So we didn't realize our baptism was our naturalization ceremony. I die to the kingdoms of this world. I rise as a son, a child of the kingdom of God. Not religion. Not religion of this kingdom. Post that, everything is about how to live as a subject of that kingdom in this world. If we don't get it, we wander. We wander. And most people wander because what they have done is after being born again, they went back to religion. And Jesus didn't bring any religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a religion. This is how Jesus put it across in John chapter 17, verses 15 to 17. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. We always, Lord, when I was saved, why didn't you take me out of the world? Jesus said, but I prayed to the Father not to take you out of the world. So many people have asked him the question over the years in every conference, youth conference. Pastor, when God saved me, why didn't you take me out of the world? I said, because he said so. I pray, Jesus specifically prayed. What that? I pray that you should take them. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but I should keep from the evil one. There's the evil one and his kingdom. Okay? And his kingdom. Then he makes his statement. Now that we are born again, what are we? We are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world. We are of another planet now. We belong somewhere else. We are not of this world. Comparison? Just as Jesus is not of the world. So that's why we have to look at Jesus to see how did he live. I said he is the author and the finisher of our faith. How did he live? And how does it happen? Progressively it happens. How does it happen? Verse 17 will say, Father, sanctify them, meaning set them apart from that old kingdom, world, democracy, to your kingdom, further and further. How? By your word. Your word is the truth. Set apart. Set apart. That's why I said, even in the world or in the church, even this morning, our priorities will shape our perception and our understanding. If you are a need-based Christian, you will read the Bible that way. If you are a wealth-based Christian, you will read the Bible that way. If you are a fame-based Christian, you will read the Bible that way. If your education is your priority, you will lead life that way. If leisure is your priority, you will lead life that way. If pleasure is your priority, you will live life that way. If the kingdom is your priority, everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. 2024, my prayer for the church here, all around listening, is that 2024, let the kingdom be your priority. If asked, those date setters say we have only 2 years left, and you have only 2 years left, run well. Run for the king. Run for the kingdom. Finish it. Okay? So all Jesus taught in the Bible, if you look, he will always, the kingdom of God was like that. The kingdom of heaven was like that. The kingdom, 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 parable after parable after parable after parable, all about the kingdom. He's not talking religion. He's talking about kingdom. Jesus taught in parables. Almost every parable is about the kingdom. But one of his first comments about the most important or well-known parable is this, in Matthew 13, verse 10 and 11. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To them it's not been given." It's not given. Did you see that? And the most well-known is a parable, not well-known in theological circles when we teach. Of course, the parable of the prodigal son is the most well-known. The parable of the sower is the parable of all parables. This is Jesus' comment on it in Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all parables?" How will you understand all parables? Now let us read verse 14 and 15. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay? Now let us go to Matthew chapter 13 to see what did the sower sow. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom," the devil is not interested in all sermons. He's not interested in all sermons. "If he hears the kingdom being preached, he will come and try to take you because he knows he's in trouble. Because those who understand the kingdom becomes a threat to his kingdom. Everything else you can preach, he's not worried, because in every religion same things are preached. He's not bothered. He said, I can handle them. I can handle them." That's why from tonight, starting now, from tonight, when you read the word, listen to the word, sit with the kingdom as your perspective, as your priority. So we'll understand scripture, what Christ is speaking to us. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom. Word of the kingdom. Why don't we understand it? Because our priorities are something else. Priorities are something else. Priorities are completely different. When I was young, very young, young little kid, like all these little kids over there, living with my parents, school, quarters, evening after school, you are playing like a madman. And it's getting darker and darker, and you can hear your mother screaming, "Sando, Sando, Sando," calling me, okay? And I'm saying, five more minutes, okay? As soon as it gets dark, you get home, and you immediately says, "I'm hungry." Okay? But she was calling you because the snacks were ready, but then your priority was different. Now darkness has set priority changes. You will see only according to your priority. Literature, we call it backgrounding and foregrounding. Okay. God says if you want to understand life, you want to understand scripture, you want to be and grow as my child, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Otherwise, in eternity, you will be a successful failure. Because our priorities will determine our understanding. Understanding. In Luke 16:16, this is what Jesus says. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. Till John is the law and the prophets. Because after that, what is being preached? John came and says, repent, the kingdom of God is near. Repent for the kingdom of God. You see, when Paul and all who understand who will tell us about knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Religion doesn't talk about that. Why does he say knowing the terror of the Lord? Because one day before we know in the twinkling of an eye, the kingdom will be here and after that it is judgment. This is not religion. This is not karma. This is judgment. And therefore he says, till John was the law and the prophets. But after that, the kingdom of God has been preached. And he says, everyone is pressing into it. The question is, 2023, are you pressing into it? Where are we pressing into it? So there is a clash. In Matthew 12 and verse 12, Jesus says, oh no, not that. Okay, the clash of 22. Okay. It's advancing. Advancing by violence and the violent. Yeah, 11:12, not 12. 11:12. See, concordance is there. 11:12. Okay. Yeah. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Violent take it by force. Okay, last week, we had our young pastor leading us in the 5 days of revival. I don't know, you were all so busy barbecuing on the rooftop while those young people were gathered fasting and praying and listening to a young man. You should have listened to what he was doing. He says, we are the resistance army. Our job is to resist the powers of darkness. And he preached entirely from the book of Elijah, about Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 17. And all the young people were there. They were all there. Every night they were there, fasting, praying, listening. He's caught his young flock together very well, mentors them. They were not worried about the world. They were not worried about what is happening around. The pastor said, come, and they came. They said, fast, they fast. Listen. Pray. And it's very clear. It's a kingdom. We are soldiers. We are fighting powers of darkness. And we have to fight so the others can press it, get in, because suddenly the end will come. So God says you have to be violent. Because the old ways of life have to die. Patterns of thinking has to change. Life has to change. Yeah, there's a young man in our midst. Where is he? Young man, there is a young man in our midst. Where is Lawrence? Yeah, Lawrence is right over there. Okay, you came last year, right? Yeah, he came last year. I don't know who brought him, Avinash or somebody brought him. He comes from a Catholic family. Okay, mother died, father died, works for an IT company, came from the Catholic family, broken, grieving. But he sat here, heard the word of God, heard the word of God, heard the word of God, made a commitment to the Lord. He got into the kingdom. And once he got into the kingdom, there is hostility from the rest of the family because you left religion and you have got into something else they don't understand. But before the year finished, he said, Pastor, would you come to my house? He's got a little house in Alwal. Went to his house. I said, I won't tell you what to do. I won't do it for you. I will only tell you. I said, all these things are idols. It's a new way of life. And before the year finished, he took out every idol. Every picture. It's not easy. Because those idols and pictures were put there by his father and his mother, who have passed away, whom he grieves over. He took it all out. Everything. He said, I want my house only to be filled with the things of God. And he said, Pastor, I bought a few books because the rest of the time I will listen to messages and read books. Kingdom does stuff. And anybody can press it. Choose to throw away the old ways of life and appropriate a new way of life. It's your choice. It's your choice. Because what is happening? The government of Jesus is taking over. It is till the end of our life. And this is nothing to be light about, dabbled about. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, this is what Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Because one thing you understand about the kingdom, unlike democracy, is the kingdom is run by the will of the king. If you ask in any kingdom, what is the law? The king will say what I say. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, because that's your law. That's your law. This is a kingdom. That's your law. And not that it's fearsome or terrible, because that gives you absolute liberty. Absolute liberty. Freedom. You don't have to worry here, because he said, you do this, I will do this. What will I do this? What you need in this life, I know better than you. It's only when you get older and older, you realize how little you needed. The will of the king. Not everyone. Our issue and my issue often was that for a long time was we see Jesus only as the one who set us from the penalty of sin. And after that, we either go back to the world or we go back to the law. Religion is very comfortable then. But that's not what happens. In Luke 17, verse 20, 21, this is what he said. When he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, because when they are thinking about kingdom, when Jesus is talking about the kingdom, are two different things. When they are talking about kingdom, they are talking about David's kingdom coming, throw the Romans out. That's why they all shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. They thought Jesus is going to come, throw the Romans out, and David's reign is going to start, and we'll be free from Roman bondage. He said, that's not what it means. That is second coming. That's not the first time. So he says, the kingdom of does not come with observation, nor will they see here or there, see there, for the kingdom of God is within you. It's inside you. The kingdom comes into you. Okay. Even as by rebirth we entered into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God comes into us. And God's representative in us is the Holy Spirit. That is evidence. The personal representative of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, got into us. The Spirit of God. Once he comes in, the kingdom comes in, we are living in the world, but we are not of the world. Your body, my body, becomes an embassy. You and I become an ambassador. And your mission in life totally changes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 and 20, this is what the word says. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. When you get back to your offices on Monday or Tuesday, start thinking, do you know who I am? I'm God's ambassador in this office. And through my life, with or without words, God is imploring the people, be reconciled to Christ. That's who I am. The work I do is irrelevant. Who I am is what is relevant. We don't know what is the kind of work Joseph did in Potiphar's house. We don't know what kind of work Joseph did in the prison. But one day when famine came, everybody had to go to Joseph. And you know what he was doing? He was reconciling people to himself. Then you will suddenly realize life takes meaning. This is who I am. You know what my body is? My body is the embassy of God on earth. And do you know who I am? I'm an ambassador. You know what my purpose is? To reconcile. That's what ambassadors do. They don't represent the country they are in. They represent the country they are sent from. They only represent the interests of the country that sent them. And that's what you need to ask. Okay? Because I'm sure at the end of the year, those who come from the secular realm workspace, tired, worn out. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Do you feel like I don't want to get up and go to work tomorrow? I wish the boss called me and said the office is closed. I don't know. Do you feel like that? I worked in the secular realm. And my last work in the secular realm was the beginning of this century. 2 years. Beginning of this century. 2 years. I worked in the secular realm. And my work was physically absolutely tiring. Like 4 in the morning till 11:30 in the night. Tiring. But I woke up every day to go. Because I knew why I was there for. I was teaching English. That was my work. But my mission was something else. I knew. I get a chance. I told you I get a chance. 5 classes a day. English. And through it, Lord, give me an opportunity to represent your kingdom. Then once a month, there was what was called a lecturer on duty. That day, he's like, in like the principal takes over. But the first thing he has to do, he has to address the assembly. 500 students. Everybody panicked. Teachers were so scared of that. I looked forward to that because here I get a larger opportunity. And I told you the week I left that institution, I did 2 things. First thing I told my class, your government takes care of you, everything. You get free. But you don't understand, there is a principle in the kingdom. Not your kingdom, my kingdom. The principle is this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What have you given back? And they said, nothing. I said, I'll give you an idea. We'll do one thing. You see, it's not the time before cell phones. I say, you know what? Do you see the principal always coming out? And every time there's a phone call, he has to run to his office. Let us get him a wireless phone as a gift. And as the first token, here I am. I'm putting the first 500 rupees in. They were excited. These are kingdom principles, okay? And they we collected. We bought. And then on that day, I first addressed and I said, sir, college, we have something special for the college today. And I said, you come and speak. So he said, our sir taught us, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we collected this and we want to give our principal a gift. And principal opened it and he was very happy. He said, nothing like this has ever happened in my life. Okay. Then I had to speak. And I spoke. You have to be very careful in the environment. I spoke. And the last thing I said is that, can I bless you? Can I bless you? They said, bless. I said, many, many years ago, a priest stood before his congregation and God said, this is how you need to bless them. And I said, this is my last time with you. And before I leave, I wanna speak these blessings over you. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Because you are very sure what you are there for. Very sure. You go with that kingdom, God will open doors for you. He will open doors for you to draw people to him, to reconcile them. But if you go with other things in your mind, not only will you be able to finish your work, you will be tired and weary because you are a kingdom person. You are like a square peg in a round hole. You don't fit there or here. Because you haven't found purpose. The purpose is very clear. We all have been sent out into the world as his ambassadors. And what is his message? Reconcile. We implore you. God is pleading through us. Like I said, next month, I have with them. 3 days, I have with them. And one of my students, whom I baptized, with a mother with 3 kids, is bringing her whole church for the meeting. She said, Pastor, we are so excited. They don't call me Pastor, they call me Sir. Sir, we are so excited. We'll see you again. We'll see you again. Okay? You go into an institution where you are not allowed to preach Christianity, yet you have converts. You baptize them. Now you're going back to meet them because you're very, very, very clear what I have come here for. Did you work harder than all the others? Yes, you did. The first thing I told you about the word substitution. First thing in the morning, I look and I see I have 4th hour and 7th hour free. I go to the vice principal and ask, is anybody absent today? He says, why? I said, I have 4 and 7 free. If anybody was absent today, on leave today, and if they have a class in 4th and 7th hour, give it to me. Give it to me. And some days I had all the hours. And then the underground church in the night. The reason is you know what you are here for. Because you go to the 4th hour in another man's class. These are students you will never teach. You'll never teach. But the subject is the same. It's Shakespeare. And if any book influenced Shakespeare, it was the Bible. You need to, go with that kingdom mindset. Lord, I know who I am. This body, wherever it goes, is the embassy of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm your ambassador. You don't have to wear a coat and a suit and all. I had to do every day. I had to wear a coat and tie. It is okay. That demanded it. But here you don't have to. It doesn't matter. But don't forget who you are. Don't forget you are. Okay. So mission never changes. Mission. Even when you are thrown into prison. Like Watchman Nee or Richard Wurmbrand or millions of others. Mission never changes. They knew what their mission was. The awesome letters God inspired Apostle Paul were written from prison. Watchman Nee's gems, I started reading Watchman Nee in the year 1988. It's 2023. You're still breaking your head to understand what this man is saying. Because these are all revelations he received in prison. In prison. So it doesn't matter what your condition is. You never forget who you are. Ephesians 6:19-20. And for me that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador. Now in chains. I'm an ambassador, but in chains. But the chains doesn't change who I am. Chains does not change my office. My office will always remain the same. Who am I? An ambassador of Christ. What is my job? To come draw them to Christ, to bring reconciliation, to let them know God sent his son, not to condemn, but to save. So Lord, let my life be a witness. Let me a witness. Be a witness. The nature of that kingdom. That's what you're talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Romans 14 and verse 17, Jesus says, through Paul, of course, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Okay. We eat, we drink. And hopefully tonight, we shall eat. It's okay. It's good to eat. Yeah, that's not it. We need to eat. But you would need to understand the purpose of eating. Yes, you should eat for health. That's a primary purpose. And not for pleasure. You should eat for pleasure. But don't eat for pleasure that destroys your health. Destroys your health. That's why I tell you, no? I was there for 2 years and I knew my mission. Therefore, I never ate from outside. That means I had to cook my breakfast, lunch and dinner every day in the middle of all this. Every day. Because I had no fridge. Every day. Because I knew I couldn't take a chance of eating from outside and fall ill and then have to cancel not my classes because I have leave, but the meetings for which you have no leave. You get paid for the one, you don't get paid for the other. So kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It is righteousness. First and foremost righteous, then peace and joy. Our peace and joy is completely connected with having a right relationship, right standing with God. Always seek. So repentance means when you hear something new today, when you repent, when you turn and align your thinking and your life with it, you have a right standing with God. You have peace with God. And you have joy. Which is not connected with outward things. So the instruction we receive, Matthew 13, 52. Okay. 13. He said to them, therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven. Now you need to ask yourself this question. How can, when Jesus taught for days and days and days and days and days and after resurrection for 40 days about the kingdom of heaven, do you think a 20-minute sermon will prepare you for the kingdom of heaven here or there? So that's religion. That's not the kingdom of heaven, that's religion. Why don't you parents send your school students to school, pay through your nose and send them to school and tell the teacher send them home after 20 minutes? Because you send them for what? Instruction. About what? A temporal passing away world. Which is good. You should need to be instructed. But when it comes to the eternal kingdom of God, 20 minutes please. So what is that? It's religion. Religion doesn't save you. It makes you only more miserable. So the instruction which we receive is how to function as a kingdom person here, as an ambassador, a representative of that kingdom, of that, as a child of the living God, how to influence, how to draw people towards Christ, how to become ambassador of reconciliation. Do you realize whenever there are hostilities between two countries, the first thing the country does is withdraw its ambassador. What do they withdraw? What is rapture? Are you an ambassador? That he should withdraw you? That's why God says friendship with the world is enmity with God. Should he withdraw you? When the Antichrist dispensation starts coming over, will they be able to say, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know you too. Get him. Get her. We know who she is. We know who he is. Or does God withdraw you? You look, the first person who is withdrawn is the ambassador, is called back. So we need to understand, we are not talking religion and Jesus did not come to bring a religion. We have enough, we don't need any more. What he brought was the kingdom. And what we are born again is to be into a religion. You don't have to be born again. You are born. You say, born a Muslim, born a Hindu, born a Christian, born. Everybody says, I was born. How can you change your religion? You are born a Hindu. True. You're born a Hindu. You're born a Muslim. But into the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. So we teach faith. Why do we teach faith? Because there is no other way you can please the king. If you want to please your king, that's the only way you can. Without faith, it is impossible. Hebrews 11:6, we all know. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Who's God? The king. Our kings. There's no other way. So why do we extol more and more and more about faith? Walk by faith, live by faith, talk by faith, faith. Why? Because you can please. Not what you can get. That is it. I will add. You don't worry about this faith as a getting business. Look at faith as a pleasing business. As a pleasing business. Do you an incident mentioned about in 2 Samuel about the three mighty men of David? And David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And three mighty men broke through the ranks. Camp of Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it. He, when he looked at it, said, oh my God, I just was just speaking a desire. The king just spoke a desire. Three mighty men broke through the ranks of the Philistines and they brought water and said, Lord, you wanted to drink that? There's plenty of water. You wanted to drink water from your well? Here it is. He said, oh my God, you risked your life for this? He said, pour it before the Lord. In your midnight watches and early watches, do you hear the desire of your king? Can you break through the ranks of the Philistines and say, Lord, I brought your desire? And Jesus says, I will not drink it. I will pour it before my Father. Kingdom. You understand kingdom? Understand this king? We pursue holiness and peace with all men. Because that's the only way we will see the face of our king. Hebrews 12:14. Why? Because no one will see the Lord. Like I said, you have to live in a kingdom. I told you on Monday, right? And the king visited the institution the first time. That and then I was young. I was in the year 89. He visited first time I worked there. And I said, Lord, the king. And they were so scared to look at his face. But because you were from a democracy, another country, you shook his hands and looked at his face. That's the current king's father. It's the only country which has two kings. The first king abdicated and gave the throne to his son. Second time when I went over there, the current king was a son. And one day he knocks on the door. Okay. And I opened my classroom. And he very polite. He said, sir, can I take 15 minutes of your time? I would like to speak to the students. I turned around. They were all standing. I said, Your Majesty, please. No, Royal Highness. That's how you address your Royal Highness. Okay. And he went in there and spoke to them. And they won't look at his face unless he says, look up. Okay. A very nice person. He's a very nice person. Okay, very nice person. And we have a big, greater, and a more loving king. That's why the best form of administration is a benevolent king. Monarchy. Benevolent monarchy. The best form. Best form. But if you want to see him, if you want to see him, God says, pursue two things. Do you want to see the face of your king? Pursue holiness with God. Peace with all men. Don't pick up fights unnecessarily. Luke 9:60 and 62. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God. 62. Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand on the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. God says, are you committed? Are you committed? Remember the guy called Ittai the Gittite? These are these Gentiles who blow your mind off. A girl called Ruth, a Hittite called, Gittite called Ittai. Absalom took the throne. David is running out of Jerusalem. Ittai also follows him. He says, hey, why are you after me? You are a mercenary. You fight wars for money. Whichever king pays you salary, you're a good fighter. You have mercy. Do you know you have mercenaries all over the world? There are Russian mercenaries all over Africa fighting those wars. They are paid through their nose and they will fight wars. They are trained veterans from old wars. So Ittai is a trained veteran. He joined David's army for Dabbu. And now he's running out. But David is running out. He says, why you after me? Go there. The other king may pay you better. He says, no, where you go, I go. Where you live, you live. Where you die, I die. I've seen you. I don't want to serve any other king. The question is, are we committed to the king and the kingdom? He's talking about a kingdom. Are we committed that way? Absolutely, totally committed? I know our little children in their school, when they begin their school, probably in the morning, they will say, I swear allegiance to the flag and the Bible and God's holy word. That is not enough. I swear allegiance to the king. Democracies, you swear allegiance to the flag. The kingdoms, you swear allegiance to the king. Your desire is my command. What do you want me to do? That is Apostle Paul. What do you want me to do? Who are you? Jesus. What do you want me to do? That's it. Never looked back. Before this day is over, you make your allegiance to the king. 2024 will be different for you. Because he did not bring a religion. He brought a kingdom. And he said, my kingdom is not of this world. He looked at Pilate, the representative of the most powerful kingdom on earth, and said, you rightly say so. I am a king. I am a king. For this purpose I came. But my kingdom is not of this world. And when we were born again, we were born into that kingdom. Into that kingdom. So don't worry. Don't worry. Luke 12:32. Don't worry. Do not fear. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see, by the multitudes who enter into the kingdom of God, by the those who show allegiance to the king will become a little flock. They'll become little. Many enter. And then they go their different ways. Pursuing their dreams. Never ask the king, what is your dream for me? What do you want me to do? People are afraid to ask. And say, I will never stop asking until you tell me what you want me to do. Don't tell me you randomly saved me. I look in the universe, I see there is nothing random. Everything has a meaning and a purpose. Everything has a purpose. There's nothing random here. Absolutely. There's absolutely nothing that is right. Everything you look over here, it has got a purpose. And how can I be random? You pay such a heavy price for my salvation and put me in the shelf and say, do whatever you want to do. It doesn't work. Makes sense. What do you want me to do? Because if you don't discover purpose after your salvation, we will live empty lives. Empty lives. Jesus says, don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. It's the Father's, your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Because when the kingdom comes, it's going to be an inversion. It's not like what we think. In Luke 18:24-25, he says, when Jesus saw that, who is this, the young ruler, he became very sorrowful. He said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Says, you know how difficult it is. Because what does money do? Doesn't matter how much money you have or how less you have. When your money comes in, do you ask him, what should I do? It's very difficult for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God, because it's very, very easy. If you understand immigration, countries that allow immigrants to come in, they want the rich immigrants. You know, if you have $500,000, you'll get a green card to US immediately. Most countries in the world, Europe, will immediately give you a visa to come and stay here. We'll give you a passport. If you have, if your country accepts dual passports, you can have ours. They will immediately give you. Why? Your money matters. Most countries, even US, if you can invest $500,000 into our system, you have a visa ready for life. You want a green card, we'll give you later citizenship. You can almost all European countries. Every country will give you. Even India will give you. We want to invest in India. How much? Oh, $500,000. Please come. Let us talk. Of course, here you have to do this also. Okay. So rich men have access to every country in the world. But not the kingdom of God. It's not easy. It's difficult. God said it's not impossible. It is difficult. It's easier for a camel. But in the kingdom of God, it is the other way around. Luke 6:20. Then he lifted up his eyes towards his disciples and said, blessed are you poor. He didn't tell everybody because they left everything. Blessed are you who poor. For yours is the kingdom of God. Did you see the inversion? Here every country is calling the rich in the kingdom. Gospel says the gospel is for the poor. They will come in. That is why this whole thinking has to change. The kingdom thinking is different. Because the kingdoms of this world runs on money. We need money. God knows that. But he says, even without money I can still work. We need, I'm not saying we don't need money, but God can sustain people, nations without money. He has done. Elijah for 3.5 years sustained him in the worst famine, and he had no money. 600,000 families out of Egypt, they had money, but there were no shops. He sustained them because their money was useless. God may or may not use money. Change the way you think. There's an enormous inversion over there. All the religious conflicts in the world. I told you on Monday. Are caused by two things. Government or religion. Okay. January 21st, there is going to be a big religious ceremony. But how did you build it? By breaking down somebody else's. How did he build it? By breaking out somebody else's. These are all facts. But the simple question is, who are you building it for? Jesus looked at David, if I'm right, and said, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What can you build for me? What can you build for me? So instead he says, you know what? I will come and stay in you. A broken and a contrite spirit, I will not despise. You want to build something for me? Break yourself. Should they ever request, Lord, humble me? He doesn't. He doesn't humble anybody. He says, you need to humble yourself. And I have shown you 1,000 ways in the Bible how you can humble yourself. One of the ways is what? We are fasting. With the fasting, praying, studying the word, okay, not fasting and then playing. That is not humbling. Okay. It's a humbling of yourself.
There are various ways. And he says, those are the kind of people, I will be there, in there. That is my temple. I will live in them. I'm comfortable there. And we see in the Bible, Old Testament especially, various people over whom God's presence, his anointing rested. But he was still looking. And then one day his son came. And the Holy Spirit came and rested on him. He said, I found the humblest of them all, my son. And that son and his body becomes God's temple. So you have to change. Because all problems are created by human government and human religions. And the kingdom of darkness meddles with it. They love violence. They love death. They do it. And Satan told Jesus, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and says, it's given to me. I can give it whoever I please. Just bow down and worship me. He says, no, only God alone you shall worship and serve him alone. We need to understand how these things work. Even in your homes, those who are married, husband and wife, parents and children, what are you trying? Are you trying to draw the, let us say, unbelieving spouse or defiant spouse or rebellious spouse, draw through the ministry of reconciliation to Christ, or trying to win arguments? How do you see yourself wherever you are? Conflict or peace? Ambassador is always trying to bring peace, not conflict. Sometimes peace can only come through by dealing with issues, but it's very clear. The issue here is we need peace. That is the objective. Ask yourself, how do you see? Because government and law and religion are all different. The law will say, hate your enemies. The kingdom says, love your enemies. How do you reconcile religion and faith? Kingdom. It doesn't work. Because in the kingdom, God says, love your enemies. Don't curse them. Bless them. And if they are hungry, feed them. That's kingdom. That's not religion. That's not religion. Acts chapter 1 verse 3, post-resurrection, Jesus. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He didn't preach any religion. He didn't start any religion. He's not the founder of any religion, as Wikipedia will tell you. He was not a founder of any religion. He says, I have come to tell you about a kingdom that is from everlasting to everlasting. The kingdom that was there before the foundation of the world. And the kingdom that will be there after this world has disappeared. I'm just coming to present to you a kingdom. Before that kingdom comes down to earth, make peace with the king. And I have come so that you can make peace. Because you don't know my father, the king of kings and the lord of lords. You don't know his righteousness. The demand of his righteousness is every sin has to be addressed. Every sinner has to be executed. I understand him. But I also know my father. He loves you so much. So I have come to meet his justice. I've come for that purpose. That I will be the substitute. I will die for your sins. And if you believe in me, you will be forgiven and you can enter into the kingdom. And once you have entered, and this group has entered, he's teaching them things pertaining the kingdom. So that they can go and teach others. Acts 8 verse 12, Philip. But when they believed Philip, as he preached things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, the king and the kingdom.
The kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is coming. Oh Lord, what should we do to be saved? Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized. Acts 14:22. Paul is going around. Now believers have come in. Trouble has started in their lives. The governments of this world is always after these people who belong to God. And he goes encouraging everybody, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. He says, don't give up. Don't give up. All this is temporal. When death is not an end, it is a beginning of everlasting presence of God, everlasting departure from God. Death is just a transit camp. You just go through it. It's like the wardrobe in Narnia. You just enter into another world. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Acts 20:25. Indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. This is his beloved church in Ephesus. For 3 years, day and night, he says, with tears. Day and night. Day and night.
When I talked about that person who got baptized, I still remember those days were difficult days. Baptism is a very dangerous thing because the religions understand baptism. They understand baptism very well. Once you are baptized, they know what baptism means. So we have to baptize them in very secretly. Twice it happened. First time we decided on a day for baptism, we have to get a national holiday because Sundays are all busy. We went up a hill. Took all the ones who have to be baptized. We said we'll go down there. The river is there. We will get baptized. But the problem was that previous night a boy got washed away by the river. So all the cops and the forest guards were searching the river. So our baptism plan went out of the window. So somebody said there is a plan. We can go up the hill. There's a little rivulet of water coming down. What we will do is that we will dig a hole. So they went there, nobody there in the jungle, brought the spades and everything, and we dug a hole this deep. Then channeled the water, filled it, and then baptized the people in it. Okay. Because what is baptism? Death to this world, entering into official entry into another kingdom. Okay. Another time we drove somewhere else, another town, and inside forest area where a person had a small little resort, but there is no electricity, power, nothing over there, but you have a wooden sauna. It's a wooden, like a bathtub filled with water, with another small portion with holes where the water flows through, and you heat stones in the fire until they are hot, and then you put it into this closure so the water gets warm. So you can baptize the people. So baptism is a very interesting experience because you know what it is. You're transiting from one camp to the other camp. So they baptized them. And Ephesus was his, one of his favorite churches. And for 3 years, he was teaching them things connected with the kingdom. 3 years, day and night. And his final verses in the book of Acts about him is written this way. Acts 28 verse 23 first. And when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Can you sit? Morning till evening. Verse 31. Remember, he's under house arrest. He cannot leave. So he cannot go. So what does God do? He sends people to him. He can have visitors, but he cannot go out. But the message is still going on. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence.
no one forbidding him. If you don't get the kingdom in your mind, you will not understand the teaching. What is the teaching is all about? Why are we so this thing about teaching? Because we are preparing our people for another place. How to live as a kingdom person now, as an ambassador. And second, so that when you go there, it won't be a strange place. Strange place. You don't have to learn the customs of that place. You will fit in because you are a kingdom person on earth. That is your natural habitat. Once you enter, it's about the kingdom. At the end of the dispensation, this is what God will say in Matthew 25 and verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you when? From the foundation of the world. See, the kingdom was prepared for us even before the world was formed. Even before we were born. There was a kingdom prepared for us. And on that day, what will King Jesus say? All judgment is in Jesus' hands. He's the one who judges. And when everything is over, he'll have the kingdom over to the Father, and the Father will rule from the top. And he himself will voluntarily come under the Father by teaching us, I'm equal to the Father, but submission is not a bad word in the Bible, in the kingdom. It's a good word. It's a good word. So he says, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What all is there as our inheritance in the kingdom, we don't know. Eyes haven't seen or ears heard what God is preparing for those who love him. So 2024, get your priorities very, very clear. And God puts it very clear. Matthew 6, 23 only two. 33 only two. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay. Seek the kingdom of God. Prioritize. Then organize your life. Because it's very difficult for today's generation because you are a generation of multitasking. It is good only if you know your priorities. If you know your priorities and your priorities are in the right order and you can multitask, good. But otherwise, it is a terrible life to live. We have to learn what is important in the kingdom. That is non-negotiable. That's why we learn from Jesus. The disciples later learned it. That's why I like Mark 1:35. Early in the morning, when it was still dark, he arose and went to a deserted place. And he was... What is he doing? What is he doing? Connecting to the king and the kingdom. My day is beginning. My day is beginning. I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I need to know that you are with me. I need to know that everything is right between you and me. I need to know that your presence will go with me. And then it doesn't matter what I face through this day, be it storm nor hail for typhoon or multitudes or sick or the demonic, I know I can handle it because you are with me. That's a priority. Non-negotiable priority in a kingdom person. Your prayer closet is your priority. 2024, decide. And your age is irrelevant. Maybe you're hearing it for the first time today. It's irrelevant. Moses heard from God only at the age of 80. And his life changed completely. Completely changed. Absolutely changed. Because he heard. And his priorities changed completely. Then only he understood at the age of 80 why he was born, why he was saved, why he was chosen. He understood the purpose of his life at the age of 80. Better get to know the purpose of your life at 80 than never know it. And then that old man standing with a stick is standing before the greatest empire then in the world and says, let my people go. Who says? My God says. The God of Hebrews says.
Pharisees. Who is the God of Hebrews? I do not know. He says, don't worry. By the time I'm finished, you will know. Because this is a kingdom of power. You will know. You will know. By the time he left, the Pharisees, bless me and go. Okay. Bless me and go. Okay. So you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to believe. That's what I said. If you go in as a kingdom person, you have as a kingdom person, you will have favor. Like I had favor every place I worked. I always had favor because the mindset was always that this is why I'm going, Lord. So I finished. I came back to India. A year later, I went back to that same country. This time I heard my principal was in another, the most prestigious institution in that city, the big one where the king's children all study, the big one, it's called YHS. He was there. So I said, hey, I asked my church kids, do you know where sir is? They said, he's the principal there. I said, oh, cool. Let me see if I can go see him. Okay, just drop in casually to see him. Okay. So when I went to the office, there were people sitting there to wait to see him. And I said, okay. Okay. I said, okay. Then I said, okay, wait a minute. I took a small piece of paper and just wrote on it a piece of paper. Just wrote like a, Sir James is here. And I told the peon, would you give it to sir? The peon went in and just gave the note to the principal. The principal said, call him. He left the entire crowd waiting over there to come. And he sat with me and talked for half an hour. And then he asked me, sir, if I take you to these classrooms, would you speak to my students? I said, sir, no. I'm no longer a teacher. I'm no longer a teacher. I don't teach Shakespeare anymore. You have to believe who you are, what the Word of God says you are. Don't lose your identity after being saved. Don't lose your identity. This is who we are. Pray every day according to your shift timings, because you work in different difficult shifts. But wherever your day begins, if your day begins, whatever shift you work in, put God first. And say, Lord, when I go through this day, you have put me in this office, you put me in this place, help me to be ambassador of reconciliation. Use me, Lord. Without words. Without words. Like I told you, I sat in a staff room with 30 other lecturers, of which 5 were nationals, the rest were all Indians. Mostly Hindus, Muslims, and a few Christians, all of them. And every time they called me for the weekend, and I said, I'm not free. They said, what do you do, sir? I said, I'm not free to tell you that also. Then you'll always see on Sundays, they would be all in the town. Sundays the town, people are drinking and all through every second shop is. And then they see me. I got this crowd bigger than this of young people with me going from one meeting to another. They all have guitars and all. And they're looking at this. None of them are his students. These are students from other colleges. Who is this dude who came in just yesterday? But that's my church. Going from one meeting to another meeting. Because you knew your purpose. Just opened up for you. Right? Then the second time, like I said, after I finished an event, I went back to that college to see. And they were all so happy to see. And the Muslim guy had got married. And he said, sir, you need to come, sir. I've talked to my wife all about you, sir. This verse, I said, I cannot. Then all of them said, we know now why you came. I said, oh, really? Why do you came? We heard what you are a preacher. I said, oh. And they, are there churches here? I said, maybe. They said, sir, will you come and speak to us? I said, tomorrow is Sunday. I have 7 services. Will you wake up at 6? That's the only time I'm free. They said, we will. For the first time in their lives, on a Sunday, all these non-Christians gathered at 6 in the morning. And I sat with them and told them, for this purpose I came.
God who can save. They were Muslims, they were Hindus, all of them. This is Jesus. You have to believe he will open doors for you. You have to believe he will make opportunities for you. Like Praneet said, we all have our testimonies. But you should have testimonies. Don't go into the world as a worldly person. Go into the world as a kingdom person. And that's the first thing we hear about Joseph. Everyone knew his God was with him. One of those rare parties, any time the college parties where it was on a weekday where I was there, principal would always say, Sir James, give him lime juice. He doesn't drink. And I was the only one who did not drink. Okay, and that itself becomes a witness. Because they will ask you, how come you don't drink? You have to learn to answer, I'm a teetotaler from childhood. No. Because my body is the temple of the living God. This is kingdom property. You have to bring the kingdom in. You need to know how to answer. You say, in this kingdom. You are living in another kingdom where everybody drinks. But in this kingdom, you don't put alcohol in. That's why you don't smoke, you don't drink. Because this is not my own. This is kingdom property. And suddenly you will realize, you will know, I can witness, I can speak, I can speak. Okay. So God says, get your priority right this year. Put God first. And purpose will start flowing. Then you will realize, I'm not, you may be tired in your body, but you won't be weary. You will realize there is meaning to life after salvation. There is purpose. Matthew 5, 10 and 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. When you start seeking righteousness, in most settings, trouble will begin. But not because of the righteousness of the law. This is his righteousness. This is the righteousness of Christ. Trouble. And what does God say? You are blessed. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. You took a stand for him, his righteousness. You should be able to say either it is written or Jesus won't do it. And both are the same. Then what happens? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. There are rewards waiting. So righteousness is not an easy thing. Righteousness of the law and the righteousness of the religion is easy. It's not difficult. The righteousness that comes by faith and faith alone is not easy. It is difficult. You stick out like a sore thumb. And that is where you have to learn to be very, very kind. Like Peter says, even if they speak harshly about you, they actually do not have a reason to speak harshly about you. Because they see who you are. Okay. Don't be obnoxious witnesses. Some people are obnoxious witnesses. You're not obnoxious. We're not trying to persuade anybody. We are telling them this is the truth. Let the truth convince you. I always tell people, try Jesus on your own, whether he works or not. I bet you, I said, keep calling upon the name of Jesus and see if he will not answer you. I challenge you. If he's real, he will speak to you. Keep reading the Bible as an atheist, see if it will not convert you. Challenge you. Because this book, it's not any ordinary book. This is breathed in by God himself. This has power. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. That you yourself is convinced by the kingdom. So closing. Luke 14, 25 to 27.
And great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Okay, I'm trying to change my tone because I know that's probably the way he said it, not angry and tough, but very gently. He knows people love their father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. So he says, if anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. So he set a condition for followers becoming disciples. And then in Luke 8, 9 and 10, he said, what does this parable mean? And he said to them, his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? He said, to you alone, that category of followers who are disciples, you alone will understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Others will float through life saved, never understanding the mysteries of the kingdom because they are not willing to pay the price for discipleship. It's a kingdom of mystery. So many mysteries. So many mysteries. All of eternity will be understanding. If this whole world, down to a human body, that we are astounded by the intricacies of the human body, we are still discovering and discovering and discovering and discovering and dazzled by the brain alone of the human being and this created universe, then what about the kingdom of God? About the unseen realm? If the seen realm baffles us, what do you think is the unseen realm? God says, it is not given to everybody. It is given to disciples. So 31st of December, 2023, decide, I'll be a disciple. Lord, I want to be a disciple. Here I am. And I'm going to prioritize my life, kingdom, and your righteousness. Then I'm going to organize my life around it. Then I'm going to discipline myself into it. Or if I have to wake up in the morning, I will set a time, you set a time, you wake me up, I will be up every day. This is not a religion, this is not a law, this has got to do with me and you. And one particular day, if you don't want me to wake up, when I wake up, you will tell me, go back to sleep, I will go back to sleep. Because this is based on a relationship personally with a king. This is not a law. It's not a law. If you tell me to fast, I fast. If you tell me to eat, I eat. It's a relationship. It's not a law. It's not a law. The disciples did not even know Jesus was fasting. They didn't know. But he cast out the demon and said, this can go only with fasting and prayer. They said, oh, you were fasting? We didn't know. It's between you and God. There are corporate fasts which we finished tonight. There are very personal things. Very, very personal thing. 2024, let it be a very corporate and yet personal walk with God. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. And when you come to powers of darkness, the other realm, Revelation 12 and verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. That is loyalty. Loyalty. They all said, we will all go and die with him. Peter said, even all live, I will not live. They all ran. But the end of the story is, they all died for him. They all did. The difference was the kingdom. When they all said, we will go and die with him, it was the flesh. But when they all died for him, the spirit and the kingdom had come in and they died for him. That's the difference. Words may be the same. But the difference was made by the kingdom. Because righteousness
peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. My prayer is that every one of you personally and every home of yours experiences that peace and that joy that passes understanding. It's got nothing to do what's happening in the world or even happening around you or in you. It's got to do with the kingdom. You have a right standing with God. And that's only possible through repentance. He says, put away. You put away. He says, turn. You turn. You have a right standing with God. You are considered righteous by God. Automatically the other two will come in. You have peace. And you have joy. Peace and joy. The kingdom will manifest itself in different ways. Like the prison in Philippi. Two ambassadors in chains. Stripped and whipped. Legs put in the stocks in the midnight hour. And they were praising. The kingdom was being manifested. They knew we are not in prison because we did something wrong. We are in prison because we did something right. According to your kingdom. They rejoiced and they were exceedingly glad. And the power of the kingdom came in the whole place. The Bible says the foundations of the prison were shaken. The kingdom came in. All around they could hear sounds, chains dropping. You know why? You can trust this. These are the words of a king who died for you and me. Died for you and me. As I close, long ago in a Spanish city was under siege by the Muslim invaders. And the Muslim invaders in one of their attacks captured the king's only son. And he sent word to the king, surrender or we will execute your son. Now this is a decision now only the king can take. The counselors, nobody, everybody is shocked. They don't know what to do. The message is, surrender or your son dies. You know what the king's answer was? The king's answer was, let my son die so that my people may live. There was a king greater than him. And he had a son, only son, whose name was Jesus. And that king said, let my son die. So that you and me, I will love. Paul says, now that life we have, we'll love towards him. If he wants, he can make us all obey him. Break our legs, change our heart, change our mind. He can do anything, but he won't do it. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. This kingdom runs on love. If you don't love me, after all this, leave it alone. Leave it alone. There's no coercion. There is no force. There's no compulsion. That's in the kingdoms of this world. The kingdom of God, no. Men, shall we stand up? Shall we pray? And we will come back tonight. Back again. 10 sharp, we will begin. On the way, don't drink anything that even remotely smells of alcohol. Because when you go back, they may check your breath. Be sober the whole of next year and the years to come. Okay. Be spiritually minded. Because to be carnally minded itself is death. You don't have to do anything. You have to think that way, you are dead. Don't live for pleasure, live for purpose. Because the widow who lives for pleasure is dead while she is living. This is all scripture. These are people without purpose. We are not people without purpose. We are people with purpose. Men? That's why I keep repeating the same word over and over again. What do you need to do? Surrender. I give my allegiance to the king. Many, many, many years ago, it was a different Bible. I went on my knees and told, Lord, I don't understand. But I surrendered to the words of the king. Then he opened my eyes. King doesn't speak until you surrender. Speak to me, I shall surrender. He says, no, surrender, I shall speak to you. Because a king never wastes his words. Because if he speaks to you without you surrendering, the result is dangerous. We don't want that. So this 31st morning, let's say, Lord, here I am. Bid me, here I am. Isaiah said, here I am. Joseph said, here I am. Just surrender and see how God will change it all around. One day at a time. It won't happen in a day, but every day. By the time you come to the end of 2024, you will realize, I didn't know on 31st December 2023 when I'd actually surrendered from my heart and then kept on doing it. I didn't realize God could turn my life around 180 degrees. Absolutely. I had no clue what God could do. All I did was, Lord, here I am, here I am, here I am, here I am. Help me, Lord, here I am. Father, this morning we just come to you, Lord. We just want to thank you. Thank you for dying for us. I see nothing in myself for you to die for me. Nothing, Lord, nothing. But I thank you, you died for me. Now that you died and rose and you're seated on the right hand side of the Father and is the soon coming King, I personally and we all of us here surrender our lives back into thy hands. 2023 is behind us. So many goof-ups, sins, shortcomings, transgressions, whatever you name it is what is true. Our words may be euphemisms, but you have the actual word for it, Lord. And we call it by as you call it. No whitewashing, nothing. You are proved right when you judge us, Lord. And we acknowledge, as David said, our sins are before thee. But Lord, it's your blood that cleanses us. We seek your mercy. If we were to list, if your spirit were to show us, he would have to start from the midnight of last 31st. All the day, every day, the list would be so exhausting. But Lord, we ask for mercy, 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 mercy. We confess, we believe. The blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And we have a right standing with you today. When we leave this place, we go with a right standing. Starting afresh. Putting your kingdom first. And your righteousness first. Believing you will start speaking to many, if not all. Giving them purpose. And as they work out their purpose, they will realize life is not so difficult. Everything actually I needed for life, my God is adding. And I'm satisfied. And always there is leftover and overflow to give away. Because my God is not a conjuice. He's not a miser. His hands are so big. And I can become like him more and more, a giver. And not a taker. I bless your children in your name. Everyone. The youngest to the oldest. Everyone. Every family here. Every household. The ones who do not know you in their household. I pray for salvation this coming year. Pray for healing. For deliverance. For restoration. All things are possible with thee. All things are possible with those who believe. I pray your children will believe. When we come back in the evening, we'll come back even more determined. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To follow you all the way. Touch, Lord, touch. Touch your children, touch. Touch us, Lord. Touch all our churches, all our pastors, every congregation. Everywhere.
Everyone who's tuned in listening, let the hand of God touch them. Deliver them out of all their troubles. We just once again thank you for this year. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your everlasting mercies. We thank you, Father. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with each one of us.